Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the regular meeting, or excuse me, the board briefing for the Multnomah County Board of Commissioners. Audience members, I want to start by asking you to please silence your electronic devices. Commissioner Shannon Singleton is excused this morning. For those presenting today, please turn on your mic when you begin speaking and off when you've completed your remarks. For all presenters, please state your name for the record before speaking or responding to questions. And before we begin today's meeting, I'd like to ask for a moment of silence in honor of Aval Gordley, Senator Aval Gordley, who passed away over the weekend. Former Senator Gordley was the first Black woman to be elected to the Oregon Senate. In so many ways, she was an inspiring, pioneering leader throughout her life. I had the privilege of knowing her as our time in public service overlapped in some ways, and I'm so grateful for her leadership, her vision, and her dedication to our community. Her legacy will live on. Thank you, everyone. We'll now move on to our first item for today, which is an informational briefing on the fiscal year 2025 Resource Conservation Report on Multnomah County Operations. Our briefing today comes jointly from our Office of Sustainability and our Facilities and Property Management Division in DCA. I'm sorry to invite the speakers, Tim and Jeff, to come on down. The county's resource conservation work is multifaceted, and it's really a countywide commitment. It's also a reflection of our responsibility to good fiscal and environmental stewardship. Multnomah County is committed to tackling the climate crisis. I just read about today as how our federal administration is sharing out a supercomputer that does a lot of climate research and has been a resource, and no one really knows where this, this supercomputer that has been used for that kind of research is gonna go, who's gonna be responsible for operating it. And at a time when we are seeing so many attempts by our federal administration to make climate research and science research invisible and to minimize the devastating impact it will have on our future, I think it's more than important than ever that Multnomah County continues to show our commitment to being clear about our values around the climate crisis and taking proactive steps to tackle our climate crisis. We put this value into action through our policy and advocacy, through partnership and engagement with the community, and through our own programs and practices to ensure that we, as an organization, are doing our part to reduce the environmental impacts of county's operations. That last part is often less splashy than big legislations or legal actions, but it is equally critical to showing our commitment each and every day. And with that, I will hand things over to our presenters. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you. Good morning. Chair Peg Peterson, commissioners. My name is Jeff Lewis, and I'm the Assistant Director for Client and Support Services within facilities and within DCA County.
Good morning, Chair Peg Peterson and commissioners. My name is Tim Lynch. I'm the Senior Policy Analyst with the Multnomah County Office of Sustainability. I'm pleased to be here to present this morning to present to you the fiscal year 25 Resource Conservation Report. Since 2017, the Office of Sustainability and Department of County Assets have partnered to present this report to the board and our community. The report will outline key performance indicators related to resource conservation efforts and county day-to-day operations. This is an opportunity for us to show how Multnomah County is walking its talk with respect to climate and environmental stewardship. And thanks to guidance from this and previous boards and the ongoing commitment of staff across the organization, the county is making important progress. Next slide, please. As the chair mentioned, tackling the climate crisis is essential to protecting the health and well-being of our community. This first graph shows the total greenhouse gas emissions generated by county operations for our main emission sources, our buildings and our fleet. In 2015, the board established a goal to reduce greenhouse gas emissions from county operations by 53% below a fiscal year 7 baseline by the year 2030. And I'm proud to say that emissions in fiscal year 25 were 68% below that fiscal year 7 baseline, well ahead of that goal. This is the result of years of investment in more efficient operations and the use of renewable sources of energy. However, over the past several years, our emissions have remained relatively flat, More work is needed, particularly in reducing natural gas use in existing buildings and decarbonizing the county's fleet. We'll touch on both of those topics more in a minute, but first I'll pass it back over to Jeff.
Thanks, Tim. Next slide, please. So in 2023, facilities and the Office of Sustainability collaborated to amend the High Performance Green Building Policy. This policy requires that new buildings and not only meet green building and energy efficiency goals, but that we also construct our buildings without the use of fossil fuel systems for space and water heating. This is a significant step toward reducing our greenhouse gases. And I'm happy to report that our new library buildings meet those standards. This is a picture of the newly rebuilt Albina Library, which is not only beautiful, but boasts of a large variety of green building techniques, technologies, and materials. The libraries are also leading the way on vehicle decarbonization. This year, they activated a new battery box electric truck for moving books and other media between libraries. The purchase of the truck was supported by a grant from Pacific Power. The new truck will be housed at the Library Operations Center, which is the county's first net zero fully solar powered building. Next slide, and I'll hand it back to Tim.
Actually, you could leave it back in the last slide.
Oh, sorry.
The county has been working on fleet decarbonization for years, including being an early adopter of EVs and hybrid vehicles, as well as the use of bio-based diesel fuel. The county currently has 40 hybrid vehicles and 10 EVs in its fleet, and over 45 EV chargers have been installed to both support county operations and access to community charging. And staff are constantly looking for opportunities to do more. The Office of Sustainability is working closely with the Department of County Assets, both fleet and facilities, on how to approach enterprise-wide fleet decarbonization. And with new direction from the COO's office, we're now working on a formal policy that we plan to share with you all later this year. This is a team effort. In particular, I want to recognize the work of our fleet manager, Lauren Kelly, and our electrical services program manager, Nathan Miller, for all of their leadership in helping to move this work forward. Now we can go to the next slide. Thanks. This graph shows the amount of electricity we use in county operations and where that electricity comes from. Over time, you can see that we've reduced the total amount of electricity we use. In fiscal year 25, we used 20% less electricity than the fiscal year 7 baseline, which is excellent. But equally important is where our electricity is coming from. The majority of the electricity provided from our two utilities, Portland General Electric and Pacific Power, is still made by fossil coal and methane gas. Due to state law, electricity from the grid is becoming cleaner over time. However, our climate energy goals require us to do more and faster. In 2017, the board established a goal for county operations to use 100% renewable sources of electricity by 2018. To meet this goal, the county has added on-site generation in the form of rooftop solar to its buildings whenever feasible, and the county purchases renewable electricity through several contracts, which have directly supported the growth of renewable energy projects in Oregon. Thanks to all these efforts, since fiscal year 18, the county has used 100% renewable sources of electricity in our operations. And we're looking closely how our buildings can not only become more energy efficient, but more energy resilient, and how the investments we make in our properties can support the transformation of our grid to cleaner energies overall. For the first time ever, the county is adding a large-scale battery energy storage system to the new East County Library. The battery will provide energy resilience at the site, but will also provide wider integration of renewable energy in the grid through a partnership with Portland General Electric. That partnership with PGE, along with other grants and incentives, will also offset almost the entire cost of the system for the county. And the project can serve as a model both for future county projects as well as community projects. Next slide, please. This graph shows energy use intensity over time. Energy use intensity measures total building energy use, natural gas and electricity, per square foot, showing how efficiently buildings are operated over time. The county is using less energy overall due to investments in our existing buildings, innovative design in new buildings, and active monitoring and management of energy use across our portfolio. These efforts have led to an energy use intensity across the county's portfolio that is 26% below the fiscal year 7 baseline, meaning our buildings are operating 26% more efficiently than the baseline year. Working with Jeff's colleagues in facilities and property management, I have a real appreciation the experience and dedication it takes to keep our buildings running smoothly and efficiently. So thanks to Jeff and your team. Next slide, please.
Thanks, Tim. So facilities employs two building automation specialists and one energy and utility specialist. Together, they monitor our buildings to ensure that they operate at an efficient level that minimizes our energy use, while also providing comfortable conditions for our staff working in those buildings. They monitor our equipment in real time and adjust settings as necessary to ensure both comfort and energy savings are met. The county collaborates regularly with the Energy Trust of Oregon. One of the ways that we work with Energy Trust is by participating in their Strategic Energy Management Program. The Strategic Energy Management Program provides us with tools and education to save energy today and continue savings over time. This has resulted in more efficient systems, which translates to energy and financial savings. Last year, the county estimated a savings of 2.5% or 228,000 pounds of CO2 emissions compared to the previous year. I want to talk briefly about an upcoming project that the board is familiar with. This last fall, the board approved FAC 1 for the Rockwood Community Center upgrade project. On-site mobilization has started and construction will start next month. I want to highlight some of the energy improvements that are part of that project. In line with the high performance green building procedure, we are eliminating fossil fuel used for the heating and cooling system and for the generation of hot water. The new systems will be all electric, high efficiency systems. On the control side, the building will be integrated with our building energy management system to ensure efficient energy use once the improvements are completed. The parking lot will receive 4 EV charging stations. And we are also installing an on-site rooftop solar array. It's through these ongoing improvements that we not only reduce our emissions, but reduce strain on the grid and better prepare our facilities for an already changed climate that is getting hotter. Next slide, please, and I'll pass it back to Tim.
Great, thanks, Jeff. I'm not gonna spend a lot of time on this slide, but I wanted to put a real world example of how climate change is affecting our day-to-day operations. Cooling degree days is a kind of wonky, but important measure to help understand how much energy is needed to cool a building to a comfortable temperature over a period of time. I'm sure it's no surprise to anyone, but our summers are getting hotter. The graph shows the trend has been a significant increase in the number of cooling degree days over time. This means we need to run our buildings' HVAC systems for longer and harder to maintain comfortable temperatures. This is a strain on older buildings in particular, and something that is being factored into future designs. Next slide, please. Hotter summers also show up in water use, which is what we see in this slide. The county's water use saw its lowest point in fiscal year 21 when fewer people were using county-owned buildings during the pandemic. Since fiscal year 23, when buildings returned to more normal operations, water use has been relatively flat. This is despite the county adding more residential-type facilities that tend to have higher water demands. Higher average temperatures also increase water use, as several of the county's larger facilities use cooling systems that consume both water and energy. Still, in fiscal year 25, the county used 33% less water than in fiscal year 7. Water use intensity, which is the line moving across, is similar to energy use intensity, showing how efficiently water is used on a per square foot basis across the portfolio. By this measure, in fiscal year 25, the county is using water 39% more efficiently across the portfolio, despite some of the challenges I noted. The county does not currently have a water utilization goal, but facilities is considering adding this in the future. Next slide, please. Okay, one final graph here, this one showing our solid waste and recycling data from day-to-day operations. And I'll just note, this does not include data from road or building construction projects, something that's looked at separately. The amount of waste generated discarded to landfill continues to be a perennial challenge for the county. You may notice a dip in solid waste in fiscal year 23. This is the result of a new tracking methodology, unfortunately not less actual solid waste generation. The county has had a long established goal to reduce waste by 12.5% below a fiscal year 10 baseline and recover 65% of all waste generated by county operations. We have never been able to achieve that goal as an organization. In fiscal year 25, the county generated 50% more solid waste than the fiscal year 10 baseline, and with the same 48% diversion rate. Diversion rate meaning the amounts of material that's not sent to landfills, sent to recycling and composting. and other reefs. As you can see, over the past 3 years, the trends have not moved in the correct direction. The county is not alone in the challenge of reducing the impact of solid waste, but there's definitely more we can do. Additional operational changes and reduced staff engagement is needed. This can include building by building walkthroughs to make sure that staff have the right information and infrastructure to avoid sending material to landfill. And we can engage more with custodial staff and our waste haulers to help us identify new opportunities and help troubleshoot issues. And we need to do more to engage with county staff about this issue and actually all of the issues we've discussed to this point. Next slide, please. I head back to Jeff.
Thanks, Tim. Let me start that over. A lot is in flux at the moment. Demands on county facilities are increasing, utility rates are continuing to decline, and destabilized climate is causing unprecedented operational challenges that we are adapting to. One new requirement that I want to make the board aware of are the statewide rules known as the Building Performance Standards. These new rules promote transparency and disclosure of building energy efficiency. The state reporting requirements will begin to take effect in 2028 in our four largest buildings. The rest of the buildings will be required to be compliant in 2029 and 2030. We're currently monitoring our buildings to ensure they comply. This will require ongoing energy efficiency improvements for some of our buildings. The City of Portland has had energy efficient building requirements in place for several years now. We currently have 25 buildings that are subject to the performance reporting requirements. Because of past investments in our buildings, we're currently meeting the City of Portland EUI requirements, and we are likely to comply with the new state requirements. I also want to note a few other successes we've had recently on integrating environmental priorities into our work and facilities. As I mentioned earlier, we're advancing our building electrification goals, not only in new buildings, but whenever we improve a building like the libraries and Rockwood Clinic. We've also worked with the Bird Alliance of Portland to help ensure our buildings are deterring bird strikes whenever we can. We're fully compliant with the Bird Safe Resolution, which was adopted by the board in 2023 and incorporated bird safe building design into all of our new projects. And lastly, to support the county fleet decarbonization effort, we've developed standards for the EV charging station development at the county facilities. Thank you for the opportunity to present today. I'll hand the last comments over to Tim.
Great. Thanks, Jeff. Let's note a few actions that are on the horizon. I already mentioned the countywide fleet decarbonization policy that we'll bring for your consideration later this year. We're also working on an updated energy policy for existing buildings, which will help codify best practices and guide our employee engagement. And finally, DCA is looking how to further integrate the goals we've discussed today into the capital planning process. We do all this work because we're dedicated as an organization and as individuals to the well-being of our community. But I also want to make sure I mention that all this work is also good for the health of our organization. Innovative buildings are healthier and more productive environments for both our employees and our community patrons. And we estimate that in fiscal year 25 alone, we avoided over $2.5 million in energy and utility costs thanks to our past conservation efforts. Additional utility rate pressures make these efforts even more valuable over time. And we are fortunate to be able to take advantage of state, utility, and other incentives to support this work. Next slide, please. I know we've thrown a lot at you today, and we appreciate the time you've given us, and especially your continued support to make the county a leader in sustainable operations. And we look forward to any questions you might have. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Jeff and Tim. Really appreciate this presentation. We'll go to the board for any questions or comments. We'll start with Commissioner Moyer.
What initiatives or strategies are we thinking about related to our ability to address some of the plateauing, particularly as we look at future relocation of buildings or purchases of buildings? Is there a strategy we're thinking about? I know that some of our portfolio, some of our buildings are rather old. Others we are leasing and you know, may or may not continue. But I didn't know if what the criteria was that we're thinking about, or with our libraries and other things. I'm excited about the new East County Library. That's a really exciting development. I'm just wondering if we're looking at some of our future projects and how these goals are impacting how we weigh different options.
Yeah, I'll start. Yeah. Sam, thank you for the question. So that was part of the reason behind establishing the high performance green building policy. So all of our buildings, as we're going through construction and design, we put them through an evaluation to just ensure that we are doing the most that we can to become energy efficient. I don't know if you've been to some of our new buildings. You can some of the ways you can see that. We're using a lot of timber for our new construction. All of our windows have the dots all over them to make sure that we have birds that don't run into our buildings. So steps are being taken that have been developed in the last few years, and now we're seeing those in design of our new buildings.
Yeah, I'd just say, electrification is inherently more efficient. Electric systems just operate at a capability. A heat pump, for example, can be three times, generate the same amount of power three times of the input, whereas a natural gas boiler, for example, can't pass 100%. That's sort of a physics maximum. So that's one strategy, energy efficiency, really leaning into that design. The courthouse is a great example. There's a lot of passive energy features. So absorbing, solar energy into the actual material of the building, so it can slowly discharge that over the day, so you don't have to run mechanical systems. I'd say with new projects, new buildings, we've done an excellent job. We've had great teams of designers that we brought in. We've set really clear benchmarks for what those projects have to achieve. Rehab of our buildings is harder because there's often system constraints. It could be the weight capacity of the roof and the kinds of mechanical systems can go on. But I will say from a sustainability side, I'm really impressed and proud of the work that our facilities folks do to try to find any and every opportunity to do better with those projects. I think part of, we mentioned an energy, updated energy policy. I think one of those things is when we have a system that's reaching end of life, that we're not just looking for a like-for-like replacement. We're thinking ahead to how we can actually make a little bit, maybe more investment today that will give us better performance over a longer period of time. So some of this is also just in that thinking about how we make investments for, for the long run, which is a challenge in a constrained environment. Yeah, every project is constrained. So, but there's a lot of different ways. And I think the policy we have with our green building policy has really set the benchmark for what we need to achieve, and we're keeping up, and oftentimes better than what we're seeing out in the marketplace.
Thank you, Commissioner. Commissioner Brim Edwards.
Thanks so much for the annual report. It's good to see progress. I had a question about my question relates to is there coming out of sort of last year and where you're headed, is there any specific action that would be helpful on the commission?
Well, I'll let Jeff add as well, but I think around our fleet decarbonization, I think clear direction, and this will be a chance for us to engage when we have a policy to put before. Our operations are complex, and so trying to figure out when it makes sense to make those investments and make that conversion to achieve our sustainability goals while also balancing all the other things we're trying to do as an organization. I think some clarity from the board about when and how to navigate some of those trade-offs, I think, will be really important. But I think, just generally when there's projects in consideration coming before you that you're thinking of the sort of mindset, and I know you all are, so it's maybe not, new information, but where there's an opportunity to have you weigh in and support it, it really does matter, makes an impact, it carries down through the organization.
Great. I'm glad to hear fleet. The fleet decarbonization is something that's coming towards us. It's something that I've been asking about for the last several years, and seems like an opportunity, but also like a good time to talk about some of the trade-offs. Yeah. The other thing I was wondering, recently, a lot of the local trades organizations put together a sort of climate jobs proposal that had a whole host of, I mean, some of the proposals were like policies at the state level, but also some local policies and initiatives. And I'm wondering if you've had a chance to look at that and if there's any sort of opportunities in which we can work with the trades on in areas in which they have identified could move us into a more sustainable, decarbonized place.
Yeah, it's a great question. And there's a lot of different contexts we didn't talk about. I mean, a lot of our office in the county's priorities around environmental justice and community partnership. We didn't really get into that too much here because it was more of an operational focus. But I think that trade connection is a really important one. I know my sense is the county has done a really great job on major projects in terms of project labor agreements or other kind of standards in terms of working workforce development apprenticeship. I think that I was actually fortunate to be part of that tour. It was really inspiring to hear some of the stories, especially folks who were coming out of pretty hard situations into the trades and finding a path forward. And so I think the county in its service provider role also plays a really important part in that trades conversation, giving the basic supports for folks to be able to actually participate in apprenticeship type programs. So there's a lot there, but I think just being clear that anytime we're doing a particular major project, we're being setting really a high bar for what our the companies that are working on those contracts are able to achieve.
Great. I'd love to follow up after the meeting just to look at places where there's points of intersect with the trades on things that they think can move the ball forward, but and ones in which sort of fit within the county's portfolio. But thanks for the work you've done. I say it's heartening to see progress on a number of fronts. And sustained progress on others.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Commissioner. Commissioner Jones Dixon.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Chair. And thank you, Tim and Jeff, for being here this morning. I'd like to talk about solid waste and the opportunities there. The slide here, I just find it interesting that in 2020, we were in COVID, so I'm assuming we were working from home. The numbers are higher. Well, I know you said we switched the technology. Could you... I think you mentioned that we switched how we were measuring the solid waste. Could you share more about
yeah,
that?
Yeah, so great question. And this is, you know, I wasn't looking forward to talking about this one today because it's not a great story. I think
an opportunity.
It's an opportunity. Yeah. Thank you for reframing that. Yeah, I don't think we're alone in the challenge of managing solid waste. I think even on individual household levels, we're seeing just how things are changing in terms of how we consume. That 2020 number is not related to the change in methodology. You would expect that those numbers to drop because we consume less, but a part of it is a challenge that our haulers continue to service buildings. And so if they're providing a certain number of pickups of the solid waste, even if it's not full, those numbers are sort of tracked on a per pickup basis. So it doesn't actually necessarily precisely reflect the actual weight being generated. And so some of this data, that's why we're trying to find a methodology that better reflects the real world. And so that's a lot of why you're seeing that, despite folks not being in our buildings, still seeing that solid waste number grow, because it's more about a service change level than it is about actual generation. So that's one of the ways we engage with the haulers to better understand, like, are we right sizing the amount of pickups that we have? So while it doesn't reflect the real world amount of waste generation, it would improve our numbers, but also means that the haulers aren't having to provide as much service, they're not having to move their trucks as much in the environmental impact there. So I think there is other opportunities just to think about creative reuse. And in the past, I think we've done maybe a better job of this. And it's one of those things of, you know, we have a lot of different priorities and we have to pick which ones we're working on. We've been working a lot more on kind of the energy space. And I think this was a sobering data point to look at the solid waste and say, we really need to turn some attention back here and see what we can do.
Yeah, yeah, I definitely think we should, because we have experts here that's focused on this specifically. I know we toured Core Recycling a couple months back, and they were talking about just their sustainability, food sustainability project. I think I'm butchering it. But I know the city of Gresham has been focused on that as well, as far as that is concerned. What do you need from us in order to prioritize this as a policy? Is it just direction, or is it priority now?
I would love to come back. I mean, hearing that this is something you're interested in is a great signal for our organization that we needed to turn more attention to it. So that helps in itself. And I think we can come back with some more specific recommendations and see what we can do, how we can work together on that. Yeah, I worked with CORE a little bit on some of their EV stuff, and they've been doing great work trying to like change the industry. Really, really cool.
Yeah. Let me add just one. We're working with a third party monitoring company where they install cameras in our drop boxes. And because as Tim mentioned, sometimes our boxes aren't full and it throws our counts off. So we want to be as efficient as possible with that. We have run into some challenges just kind of through our procurement and working with our vendor to get them on board with that. And so we may reach out to your office to get some support as we move that pilot forward a little bit. So yeah, thank you for your help.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. As you know, I live in East County, and a couple of years ago when they started the whole composting here in the city of Portland, how does that impact? That's similar to this as far as solid waste, right?
Yeah, I didn't really go into the, so there's like the total amount of waste we generate, and then the sort of where does that waste end up, whether it goes to a landfill, which is, you know, we have to when we have to, but we're trying to move it into compost, into recycling, into reuse, say like our office furniture and other things, finding ways that it can be reused as opposed to recycled, that sort of hierarchy of environmental. So composting in some of our buildings, it's made a lot of sense where we have, especially kitchen facilities, the Donnelly Long and our Justice Center. Those are really significant numbers. On the little smaller scale, just sort of our, you know, employee staff consumption, that's a little bit of a smaller number, but those are the kinds of systems we need to get in place so folks actually have the ability and the choice to find the right home for the different materials. And part of that is just it takes a diligence. I mean, if we're emphasizing that as part of our work, we can, I think, provide better education, better science, better material collection.
Yeah, yeah. This is exciting. I never thought I would be so excited about waste and trash. We're interested.
I'm glad we have a champion on the board for this issue. That's good.
And then lastly, it would be interesting. I mean, I know with the economic development analysis and really thinking through like the county's role, I think this plays a role in that as well. So just thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I was not expected to be so interested in this specifically. So thank you.
Come back to that one.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Commissioner. Thanks so much for the presentation. I did have, I had a couple questions, and you may have mentioned this and I might've missed it, but going back to the solid waste conversation. So when we look at shredding as like a component, is none of that recycled? Or do we know if that's recycled?
It is, and it's actually one of the little, I didn't go too deep into these graphs. It's one of the little pieces of the bar stack is our shredding percentage. And like, you'll see that number ratchet up and down sometimes. And that can be if we do a building change out and there's a lot of records that we've then looked and make sure we're complying with all of our records law, then we'll move towards a lot of shredding of that material. So that will bump that number up a little bit. It is reused. It's less from a recycling world. It's slightly less valuable just because it's pulped already as opposed to complete fibers like this, but it is counted in our numbers.
I just wanted, because it's those were two distinct categories on the graph, and so I just wanted to see if as much as possible that the shredding was recycled.
And those are that would be a positive for our recycling rates. Okay. The shredding number. Yeah.
Okay, great. Thank you. That's great. And then this is very off topic, and so if you aren't able to answer this, I was just reading today, and maybe this is more a question for John W. or Sylvia, but I was just reading today about the PGE moving over into acquiring Pacific Power's some of their infrastructure and customer base in Washington State. And do we think that could have any impacts on Oregon or specifically around Multnomah County and Portland?
Yeah, hot topic, hot off the presses. So I've only read the article and haven't delved into it. But what the initial hearing is that they will treat that a little bit differently. It'll be regulated by Washington State. Yeah. And so in theory, those rates should be separated from impacts to Oregon ratepayers. But with everything in the utility space, the devil's in the details. So it's something we'll definitely be interested in looking at.
Yeah, that was a big surprise. So we'll definitely be watching it closely.
Yeah.
Sure. I just appreciate this work so much that you're all doing. I think it's a very, this work continues to be a focus for Multnomah County. And I think this is having these annual reports out are very important for us to be able to keep eyes on how things are going, what the trends are, and where we might need to be leaning in more. So I just want to appreciate all of the work that you and your teams are doing. So thank you. And I love the joint work between DCA and Office of Sustainability on this. So thanks so much. Appreciate this. And I know that we're going to be talking about taking some board action on the climate justice plan coming up soon. And I know we're all looking, you know, looking towards that. You talked about the difference between some of the external and internal work, and I think this is really a good chance to see how both of those spheres are really important to moving forward with our climate values. So thank you. And a follow-up from D4, go for it.
Like I said, solid waste is extremely efficient. In layman's terms, what does the diversion rate mean? What is that?
Yeah, sorry, yeah.
I want to make sure I'm not misunderstanding.
No, I'm realizing I just sort of breezed through some of these slides. Yeah. I didn't want to get you too deep into the minutia, but basically it's the percentage of our total waste that is diverted from landfill. So basically a higher number means we're recycling, composting, reusing our waste, more of our waste stream, and a lower number means more of that is going to the landfill. So we want that number to go up.
Got it. Thank you. Thank you, Chair.
All right. Well, thank you both so much. I think this is you know, a great way that to show strong, consistent, and sustained local planning and action are always critical to the work that we're doing, and just appreciate you guys being here to share all of this with us. So that was, we only had the one briefing this morning, so that concludes today's meeting. Our next meeting is scheduled for Thursday, January 19th. At 9:30 a.m. There being no further business, we are adjourned.